Thank you, Heavenly Father, for where two or three are gathered together. Surely, Lord, you come by here to be with us. Amen. To be in the midst of us, O Lord, as we gather around thy word. We praise you, Father. Amen. So, Lord, everyone here is studying thy holy word. Amen. Come by here to be with us, Father. Amen. Break down the world for understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. In our series on the question for the wise virgin. Now I want to say something today, posted a question, but as part of what has been going around, and because of something that actually troubled me for quite some time. You remember the report of my health that I give it to you sometime at the end of March, or rather early April. I posted on the WhatsApp about the CT scan report, and then it was here, and then I also mentioned it. Now what I'm going to say today is something about my life. Something that has been going out there for years, of a false doctrine that has been going around. I want to set this whole thing right, because a certain event that happened this past week, and the Lord called me my attention. And I have to bring it up to share, because this will be on the video. Alright, son, is working for me? So, there will be those that will be watching this, and you have to learn. If it contradicts their faith, and they don't want to look at the scripture squarely, then they are at a loss. So I want to tell you today is that at the beginning of April and so on down to this time. Now this is the sixth Sunday that we are here, right? Yeah. So remember, I think on the second Sunday we were here, I was preaching on the message called Beat Your Attitude. The Beatitude. Beat the attitude. And I mentioned to you how that there were those over the time when I posted the report and I shared the report, and news has got out, and I got WhatsApp texts, I had messages, and there were those that tell me, but again, remember I told you that? Don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. So wonder what's that coming from. I didn't reply nothing, you know. Remember I came and I tell you that people ask me, how are you, brother Gan? And I'll tell you what's my answer. I'm okay. Remember? And what does the word I'm okay mean to you? And that's why when brother J.P. Lemon called me up, and I asked, oh, I called him my brother. There was some weeks back, and I said, how's your father? Then not caught up, the WhatsApp text, sorry. And he said, he's okay. Then I put an emoji and I laughed. You know, and he got it. He said, that's right, brother Dan. I'm okay. He's okay. I don't know what is okay. You know, you've got no information behind the word, I'm okay. So now, well, as time goes on, over all these many April, May, June now, I have those that call me up or WhatsApp me and how are you, brother Dan? I pray the Lord that you're all right. The Lord will heal you of whatever the problem is in your health, the diseases that you have. I'm praying that the Lord will continue to lift you up so that we can benefit from your ministry. And then there was one time that on my Facebook, someone tagged me. And I don't know how they do the tag anyway, you know. Someone just tagged me and wanted me to read the article, view their video. So there was this tag. So they point me to a video. So I click on it, and here was an African minister. And what was he preaching? Positive confession. And then I look at the comment. Amen, brother. Yes. Confess. Positively, the Lord will grant it, so on and so forth. And then, last Monday, I had a dream. And in this dream that I had, I woke up and I understand that I need to talk about it today. You know, because I have left all these things be, why people say, don't talk about it, Brother Gann. Don't mention about the cancer. Don't talk about it. Don't mention it. And I don't know why they are going until the night when I had this dream. I dreamt I was with believers. And in the dream, you know, sometimes very strangely, the dream is that you don't see faces. Not only that, I don't even see the head. It's like, you know, like a camera being panned, where the people were standing around. It sees from the neck downward. You don't see the head. You don't see the picture. You know, they were all standing around me. And in the dream, they were all wearing white. Everything was white there. You can't see the face. And I was looking at them. I was standing this way. There were those on the left, but I was standing this way and I was talking. I was sharing something. And then all of a sudden, where the believer was standing, a black dog, huge black dog. You know, some black dog, they don't have the kind of fur, kind of smooth skin. You know what I mean, right? Like a Doberman or something, that kind of smooth skin. Not like a shaggy dog, a dog that has a lot of fur. And it was black. He pushed his way past the believer and stood right up in front of me. And he said, hold the dog. So I thought someone, whoever was bringing the dog, and he was pushing him, and he put his face right in front of me, like that. No ground, nothing. Then I continued. Next moment, the visions changed, and we were out there in an open space. You know, you could see the sky, and the believer was still walking around, and there was somebody on the side, so we're just talking. Next moment again, the vision changed back to the room. Now, we changed back to the room. I was in the same place. The believer was standing, so I was talking. Now it's on the left side. The black dog came on the left side. Boom, that's the right in front of me, right here. Put the head face to face, looking at me. Now look at it. Nobody owns this dog. He's pushing his way there. And I ignored the dog. I turned around and I talked to the rest of them. There's another dog that came up. This time was a brown dog. It has fur on it. It's bigger than this big black dog. He pushed right through it and stood in front of me. Then I looked at it and I completely ignored the dog and continued speaking. And I woke up from my sleep. And the Lord, let me understand. My life. Is under attack. But I stand firm on what I know. All these many years. I want to say this, that the sense that when I woke up and realized why those believers out there I mean, those who call me or those text me, Brother Gang, how are you? I am praying, we are praying and fasting for you, for your ministry. But there are those that say, don't talk about it, Brother Gang. Don't talk about it. Don't mention the word. And then this was that video on Facebook. It didn't hit me at that time until that dream came. To talk about my disease, my health, my cancer, does not mean I'm having a negative confession. I want to show you the scripture where this teaching comes from. Now, I don't know whether how many of you still remember the teaching I had during the time of our live streaming, just last week, where I talk about, where I teach on the series of on a sound mind. Do you remember? Remember what I taught in that about confession, about the mind, about what Paul said about the renewal of the mind? Be transformed by the renewal of the mind. And many years before on and off, I talk about faith and confession often. You know, when I woke up on Tuesday morning after that dream, the Lord was just letting me to know and I need to bring it out about this thing about confession. How many of you know Dale Carnegie? You heard the name Dale Carnegie? No? D-A-L-E, Dale Carnegie. You know Carnegie Hall, Carnegie Institute and all that. When I was in the 60s, I read his book. At first, I thought that name when it came out on Tuesday, I thought it was Dale Carnegie. The one that was who wrote books on positive thinking, how to make friends, how to speak, you know, how to be confident, you know. I thought he was the one. Then I said, well, not really so. I read the book. And then there was another man, then it struck my mind. There was another man who is the one who actually became the propagator of this doctrine of positive confession. And I realized who that was. You probably have heard him. Norman Vincent Peale. You heard about him? I read all his books. I mean, not everyone his book, but I read his book. I read Carol Kennedy's book. But then I was already in the examinations of God. I mean, it was interesting to read. But then, you know, that was something that's not scriptural. I never touched on it. I never even preached anything about it. Who is Norman Vincent Peale? His father was a Methodist preacher, and he grew up, also became an ordained Methodist preacher. And he had a book called The Power of Positive Thinking. And his teaching is that if the people can believe it, they can have it. If they can believe it, they will be with it. Be it, do it, have it, receive it. All you have to do is positive thinking. Believe in yourself. That is the title of his book. You know, he believed that we are living in the world that is mental more than physical. So you are here not because you're physical, you are here because you're mental. Not mentally sick, but you are. That's what I'm doing. I'm asking the question, how do you know you are here? How do you know you are alive? How do you know you are here? Maybe someone is dreaming of you being here. So there are all these theories that's putting out, you know. So he said that the world we are living is mental more than physical, and this allows our thought to determine how we live our life. So all you have to do is determine how you want to live your life. Now in the book, when you read about positive thinking and things like that, it's all about your pride in your physical life. Yes, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a successful engineer. Of course, you do that, you push yourself, you achieve it. Right? Now look at my daughter Zoe, he studied engineer. He got a degree. But what become of her in engineering? No, he become a dog massage. Huh? So you know what I mean? But, well, who, you know, one of the biggest money-earning profession, a job. People say, I want to be an engineer, I can make more money. Doctor, bring more money. And that's not true. The one that can become a millionaire overnight, very easy in 2 years, to be a stand-up comedian. A stand-up comedian. You get on the stage, like for example, the American Got Talent stage or the British Got Talent, you just go on there and you become popular overnight and they become a millionaire in the year or two. That's how fast you can make money. You don't even have to study. Crap for 4 years to get a degree. All you just have to be is be a comedian. So you just definitely mean using your what they call belief, and you will get it. Now the thing is this, is that if that's the case, all that stands between us has this person wrote it there. And our desire is properly controlling our thoughts. In one of his books, he taught the importance of a form of mental activity called imaging. And this is actually what happened. Now, this Norman Vincent Peale, he was a Methodist preacher. He called himself a Christian, but he's far from being a Christian. Years ago, I preached on, in fact, that was 2 years ago, somebody talked about, I was on the subject of the all-sufficiency of the Scripture of God, and I mentioned one of the very popular, but he's already dead a few years ago. His name is, they call him Reverend Sun Moon. Sun Moon. You know, you heard of him, the pastor of the Unification Church in South Korea? Yeah. Thousands of people, thousands, the biggest church, 120,000 people or something like that, followers. And he believed in also visualization, imaging. They want to believe it because, you see, and I believe that is very true, that as I said this before, there are three kinds of spirits in the world. Your spirit, you know what I mean? The spirit of the life that you have from the Creator. The spirit that's in the world, that's the devil. And then the spirit of the God. And do you know that the human spirit has the power? So much power. Yeah. If you only can believe in yourself, you can do the impossible. You know that. And that's what that some of these teachings are like this. You can channel your energy in your spirit to do and believe what you can get. This teaching was going on back then in the 50s, in the early 50s. This man wrote books, went around there, and oh my. There was so much, people were so thrilled by what he was saying. And they believed and they grabbed it. And he, being that he is a Methodist preacher, he was adding all this positive thinking, say that because we are Christian, our faith would be even stronger because we believe in the God. If this is so true, by positive thinking, you can solve problems. By positive thinking, you will strengthen our personality, improve our health, enhance our chances of success in life. And any kinds of endeavor. Let me ask you one thing. If you don't have a job, you want a job, all you do is have positive thinking. that you will get a job. I will get a job, the job I want. I will get it.
Sit at home, do nothing, and somebody will knock on the door. Hello? You want a job? Here's a job for you. You think that's going to work that way?
You know what? I'm not sure. I think that somebody called to me many times, a few times anyway. I think because they are a believer, I think they were quoting what Brother Branham said. They were telling me, he said that, you know, again, we were discussing about how that we do what we can. But I said, you know what? If you can help yourself, you know, we almost could. God help those who help themselves. But again, that's false. If you can help yourself, why do you need God to help you? I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was quoting Brother Graham. Is it true? Is this statement true? God help those who help themselves. If you can help yourself, God, you don't need God's help. God will not help you because you can help yourself. Really. Let me tell you about this statement. People quote statements. There's not a lot of words that you can quote. A lot of phrases can quote. It's not always true. This quote, help God help those help themselves, it is true. Secondly, it is also false. If you can save yourself from your sin, you don't need God. Right? If you are drowning in the ocean, that's when you fall overboard of a ship, and you are drowning, and here is a life God took a life boy, jumped out and swam towards you, and he swim, knowing that you are drowning, and he put up his life boy in front of him, catch it, and you don't catch it. What do you survive? You need to help yourself also. When he pulls the lifeboat up, you need to grab it too. Salvation. God presents himself to you. I'm the Savior. Receive me. Repent of your sin. What do you do? Oh, I cannot help myself. You help me. So you don't repent? You see, the whole statement of quoting phrase, catchphrase, is very nice to hear. Like the Trinitarian catchphrase. Trinity in unity, unity in Trinity, or things like that. Sounds nice, isn't it? But there are a lot of times a phrase by itself don't mean anything. I'm okay. How are you, Brother God? I'm okay. What does it mean? Nobody is up here supposed to be a preacher, a minister. You claim to be a Christian. Yet this is what he said. Who is God? Some theological thinking? Some theological being? He is so much greater than theology. God is vitality. So God is not a being. God is vitality. God is life. God is energy. So you worship energy? Or you worship a being? How many of you are worshiping God as a being? Me, the rest of you don't worship God as a being. What is what? Mean an air? It's God a being. God is not, you know, God is, Bible says God is a spirit. People don't even know what means that God is a spirit. They think that it is, oh, God is everywhere, like air. Like a, you know, when you put a kettle to boil and then you get the steam coming out, the vapor, you disappear. That's what God is like, the spirit. Now, God is a being, he has a form. He's not like a vapor or something like without form. He has eyes. Yes. We were created in his image and in his likeness. You look at Christ, I told you that. You look at Jesus Christ, he's the likeness of God.
think. And this man is a God, is an energy. As you breathe in, God in, as you visualize his energy, you will be re-energized. He is a preacher. He is a minister. And he preaches this. He taught this. He wrote that. Yes. And he even told somebody in a magazine which was interviewed. He said this. It's not necessary to be born again. You have your way to God. I have my way. I found eternal peace in Shinto shrine. I have been to Shinto shrine, and God is everywhere. Now, you know the teaching God in God, the Godhead, God is everywhere. God is omnipotent. God is omniscient. Huh? What do you mean by that? God is everywhere. What do you mean by God is everywhere? And I said this, God is everywhere. Here's my flask. There is a little space, the water is right up to here. So God is inside there. Hello, God. Is God inside there? God is everywhere. He's inside the cabinet. He's everywhere. Inside your pocket. You know, sometimes I make some people realize God is everywhere. How is he everywhere? Huh? He's everywhere because he's all powerful, he's all knowing. And where does he sit? He's in his throne above in heaven. And yet he's in my heart. How, what does it mean? If God is in my heart, God's in your heart. How many of us are here today? 30 people? So there are 30 gods in every heart. I mean, one God in every one of us. So words are trying to get across to you. But don't have this misunderstanding of trying to, you know, say things that is not scripturally right. That's why even the Godhead today, among the believer and anti-messiah, they're still so confused. God is two. God is one. And they don't even know what they're talking about. Yes. So, noble means appear. He denied the very heart of Christian faith. And he replaced it with his doctrine of positive thinking. Back in the 60s when I read the book, already, yes, Pentecostal, the charismatic came in. Well, he was already in America in the beginning of the 50s. But he hasn't come to Singapore. He comes a bit later in the 60s, 70s. And that's why you find all these charismatic churches start coming up. And I kept myself away from that. Because I've known much of that danger. You know, all this thing about when the positive thinking doctrine comes out, last year, prosperity message came out. Yes! God is all powerful. You believe God. He's a millionaire. He's a multi-millionaire, zillionaire, quadrillionaire, whatever. And because he's our Father, we are his children. You must believe. You can believe. You can be rich. And how does it apply? Give, give. And your Lord will give more to you. So where did the money go? It goes into the pockets of this preacher. And that's why in many around them, you go to television evangelists, they preach to thousands of people, not only the congregation, the preacher on the television network, money came in. What do they have? They buy jet, they buy plane, they buy mansion. I'm successful. Why? Because I believe. All you have to do is believe. Faith. Positive confession. And I have seen some serious thing I have seen back in those days. Minister, please pray for someone. Believe you are healed. Believe you are healed. Confess you are healed. Yes, I'm healed. I'm healed. Day in and day out, I'm healed. I'm healed. They walk around for weeks and for months. They didn't get healed.
Not because you confess like that. We want to see in the scripture how the whole thing works. You see, that's why this doctrine has gone out. No, sometimes I just ignore it. I just leave it. Because there's no point, you know, finding the Spirit trying to prove it. Because I already taught this on and off. This is scripture. Look what the Bible said. Let's define. What dictionary define concerning confession? So what is confession? The dictionary definition of confess: to acknowledge, to own, to acknowledge faith in your faith, something affirming something which you believe, right? Something that you believe testifying to something that is known to be true, witnessing for the truth which has been embraced. Okay. If you are a witness to a crime, right? You have to, if you take a stand as a witness. Now you're supposed to tell the truth, the whole truth. You confess to tell the truth. And if you commit a crime, you yourself confess that you committed. So that is confession. Confession means simply tell the truth. So you don't confess, says, I'm here today. I say, brother and sister, I'm not here today. I confess I'm not here. What do you mean, brother? That's no confession. Confession means to acknowledge the truth, to tell the truth. So, when we talk about confession, there are two aspects. Here, let me talk about the middle line. Confession. One side, negative confession. The other side, positive confession. Right? So, you know what confession is? How do you give a negative confession? You tell me, how do you keep a negative confession? Oh, you commit a crime. Then you confess. I did not commit it. Then that is negative. You are lying. You are saying something that is not true. So that negative, why innocent? Positive confession. Yes, I committed the crime. But assuming that you went for a health checkup and you got an x-ray, the x-ray came out, the doctor showed you have a lot of patches here and there. These are not just scars, these are new. We'll take a test of your blood and then we'll come back and give the blood another report. Doctor said, I believe that this is tuberculosis. You came back after the blood test, doctor said, yes, I'm so afraid that you have TB. So you go home, your wife said, ask you, or your father asked you, how did your health go? Oh, I don't have TB. So don't say, I have TB, I don't have TB. Is that negative confession? That is denial. That is plain denial. But you are a Christian. You're not supposed to say that you have TB. Is that what the Bible teaches you? To say you don't have TB when you have TB? You wake up in the morning. Your husband saw you looking so tired. And you're holding your hand like that. And I said, how are you there? You have a headache? No. Do you think that the pain will go away? And I believe that your sisters, as we know, during your period, during your cycle, sometimes it's so painful you take painkillers. Can you deny that it is not real? Or the preacher not talk like this to you, right? You only talk about your healing. Oh, you got this. Pray. Believe you're healed. You got no job. I pray for you. Believe they got a job. Oh, you cannot walk. Believe that you can walk. Believe that you are healed. And you walk. I'm healed.
From day to day, morning to night, weeks after week, months after month. And your neighbor are watching you. How are you? Oh, I'm healed. I'm healed. Do you hear? So this kind of doctrine has been going on. Because when you talk about confession, negative confession, negative is acknowledging sin. It's negative. That's the teaching of positive confession people. How many of us have sinned? I mean, now you're a Christian. Can you say that you have no sin? Huh? What did Peter say? If we say we have no sin, we are liar. Yes, we have sinned. We have an overcame with God. Yes, but God took care of our original sin. It's all under the blood. Now, in the future, the sin is covered. But we commit sin in our life. Not every day necessarily. But time that when we get angry, we curse, we swear, we think evil thoughts. Is that not sin? Huh? God is watching you. Yeah, He forgives your sin even before you ask. But He will expect you to ask for forgiveness. You understand? To acknowledge sickness is negative to these people. To acknowledge poverty or any other undesirable situation is negative confession. What is positive confession then? To them, they describe as positive confession is acknowledging and owning desirable situation so as to enjoy them. The unpleasant can be avoided by refraining from ever confessing negatively. Now I tell you that I have cancer. That is not a negative confession. It's a fact. Do you understand? The CT scan show it. I look at it. The doctor explained to me all those, because it's not benign. The cells are messed up all there. Different kind of shapes and sizes of the cell within that mess. So the doctor said, you need to have an operation. You need to take a biopsy. See? So am I afraid? Am I scared? I was stunned when I saw it on the screen. Oh. Within me, I said, okay. It's there. The doctor said, okay, you need a colonoscope to be done to check whether it infiltrated into your colon. So, okay, let's see what happened. And I had enough of that one night stay in the hospital. I can go for an observation in the hospital for my kidney stone and all that, but I will never want to stay in the hospital for long. That's why after that event, I said, no. I think about my life, I thought of my life, what the Lord is dealing with me. I reminisced that night after the colonoscopy what I want to do with my life. I think back about my life. Brother Paul, one time, I think on one Friday, he mentioned this. When he was sharing about prayer and faith, he said, and he said something, he said, we are not Brother Gunn. And that's true. You are not me. I'm not you. You understand? To each and every one of us is given a measure of faith. Now, if it were you, sitting in that office of the doctor, looking at that CT scan, and you see the egg size mess right there,
and it is spreading. What would you do? I want to show you a little about my life. You know, I already told you that I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ before I was 12 years old. He was real to me. After a year or so, I backslid for 2 years. I never denied Him. And God put His hand on my life and used a sinner to bring me back to church. Unbelievable. We were having common interest in pop songs as a teenager. And he told me one day, he says, "Richard, you're a Christian." I said, "Yeah." I said, "I've not been to church for a long time." You know? He said, "You know, I wanted to go to church. I'm curious about the church is like, how they worship and things like that." You know? He said, "You want to experience going to church and see what it's like?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Okay, let's go this Sunday." And we went. And remember what I said about that message that was prepared for me? Just me alone. The preacher, American Chinese, he came out to preach. "Prodigal son, come home." Wow. The pulpit was like this. There's one wing here, and a central aisle. The T-shape. We came late. We forgot about the timing. We came late, and last summer sun, and we're sitting right, I think, about third or fourth row from the back. The preacher also is preaching. "Prodigal son, come home! Prodigal son, come home! Prodigal son, come home!" And I was in a trance. I was in a trance! What did I see? I see the hand. "Come home." So I went to the pulpit after the altar call, and I cried my heart out for more than 2 hours. Everybody's left home. That night, that day, everything's changed. That was when I was, I would say, what year is it now? I would have been 14, 15 years old. So I went back to church. The Lord started to deal my life. I started to pray. By and by, I began to commit my life to fasting and praying. In 1968, I spent a lot of time fasting and praying all alone by myself. That was when the Lord spoke to me about my work. And I was shocked. What do I do? I'm the elder in the family of six. At 68, I was only 20 years old. My sister was almost 2 years younger than me, and Brother Henry, I think, is, well, he was 19, 15, 16 years old. They're all schooling. My father couldn't work with me because he had this puppy ulcer that's giving him a lot of problem. Because at that time, medical science did not have a way to find out what's the problem in that. Because the bitter meal did not come out except for a few years later. Then they found it was a peptic ulcer, a pinhead, that gave him all the pain whenever the food passed through the stomach into the intestine. And he couldn't take it, and he has to go to take opium. When you take opium, he went into a state of lethargy. So my mother had to work as a domestic servant. So the Lord told me, "You have a work. I raised you up for the work." I said, "Lord, how do I go to school? How do I go to Bible school? I'm going to help my mom put some food on the table." So I just wrote in my Bible and lived. 69 came, I had my birthday. Put a picture on. And this is what, when I look back a few weeks ago, I look back,
sitting in my room, rummage through my old photo album, and think about my life. When I was in pain, I look at my life, what the Lord is dealing with me, what He was telling me and showing to me. I rummage through my photo album. You know, my photo album, I mean, this is very old. Now, this is 1921 years, 21st birthday, 1969. It's after the birthday party. These are the gifts that some believer gave it to me. When I open up, there are a lot of Bible books and things like that. So I sat there and I was thinking and I prayed, says, Lord, control my life. That's where I was back then, 53 years ago. 53 years ago, and many of you were not around. You know? When I think about what the Lord has called me to do, and I'm going to do it. And I didn't know what to do about it because I thought I need to go to Bible school. But then the message came, 1971, 2 years later. And then I realized, and then the Lord said, start to print some literature. And we print some literature. It goes out, Malaysia, Singapore, then even overseas. That's how God did it. Do you think it is not something that is in the hand of God? I have no control. I just took the name address from some youth magazine, Christian magazine. I saw the address, the pen pal thing and all this. Just send it out. And people responded. And by this little church of 7 people, well, a few left, and there are more added 10, 12, 20, and some people. Not only that, we went overseas just on the prophecy in 1972, even before it happened. The Lord said, I've raised you up for the ministry. I've raised you up to set up a standard. You raise up that standard that may be a blessing to my people. Now, I didn't go about trying to get you brothers and sisters to come here. It's a ministry. And there are those other brothers, believers out here in Singapore, they're trying to start a church. Even those that will be me, they laugh, they try to start their own, they flop. It won't work. If God is not in it, you are built in vain. You can never build. I only do what I can do. I said, Lord, you control my life. And you know, I tell you something. When I was a little boy, I think I was not even one year old. My half-sister, who was 6 years older than me, carried me. We were living in Cleaney Road. There was all the shop houses, those Veronica, old shop houses. You know. Carried me, I don't know where she was. My mother just said that we fell from the stair down, from the top all the way down. The bottom of that stair is a hard, solid rock, more or less. That's cement concrete. I fell all the way down. My mom heard, my half sister's mother heard, hope we were all crying. And then, of course, I was a baby, I didn't know. I was just a father, I didn't know. Of course, right now you're telling me, did you suffer pain? I don't know. I was a baby, I could have died. Then, every time when I was a teenager, I did crazy things. Oh, yeah. And so I was given a nickname in Chinese also, so black and filthy and sooty, you know. Because I go around here and there and get myself all dirty like a blindness Pig Pen in Charlie Brown's comic strip. You know. And then when I grew up to be a teen, yeah, I get into more trouble. Many times I hurt myself, could have hurt real bad. Then when I married, and I came into this ministry, I almost died several times in Singapore, or barely injured. The one time I remember vividly to today, I was on my motorcycle, my man was on somewhere else, I don't know what I was doing. I went across the world from the fourth lane to the first lane, just like that. And a car zoom past me.
About 6 inches. If I had gone a bit faster, me and my wife would have gone, or paralyzed, or whatever. And my daughter was just in primary school. And as well, they wouldn't have a mother and father. Many times I would flop my motorcycle. I throw on my motorcycle. One time a crazy young boy in around 9 o'clock I left my work, coming back after 9 p.m. And those times the street wasn't so bright in Queensway, was going down the road, and suddenly he ran across the road where there was a green fan. And he wanted to climb over. I was starting to trip around. And next moment, the moment I took my eyes off the road, and the better I put it back, I hit into a taxi. And I went flying in the air and led almost into a trench where the welding cable was open. If I had gone inside them, I probably have broken my arm or something like that. And when I came into the ministry, and I went to America, remember I told you in 1980, I could have died twice within a week. Once was when I was mugged, and a big black man with his trunnion onto the floor, and I was on the floor. He was trying to pull my back, and I refused to let it go. You know, and he was kicking me. I was so furious, I kicked him into the ground. I missed him, and I'm glad I missed him. Because he was so furious, he put his left foot down and slammed into my face. And the moment I came down, I was on the floor, he came down. I dodged it. Just the instant, he scraped my ear. And I realized I had to let go of that. There were the other guy was waiting also. Two of them. I fight back. But I'm glad I didn't hit him. Then a week that we lost our passport, we stayed with our family. I went horse riding in a mountain and down a cliff. I could have died on the cliff. Falling all the way down because the horse started to walk. I could have hanged myself like Absalom because the path was on the side of the mountain. And the tree branches was across the path. I saw it in an instant and I dodged. Oh, the devil is not happy with me. This is a small ministry. It's not big. It's not like I have thousands of people like some Singapore big charismatic churches. I'm not interested in all these big churches' popularity. Abraham was not a big famous guy. But God used the full gospel businessman to help him put him on the stage so that people can hear the truth. But today with the truth that we have, who want to hear? Put me on to one of the big charismatic churches and let me stand on there. And within 15 minutes they usher me out. That's for sure. That's what happened in Africa in this damn church. They will not want to hear what I have to say. But because I am a foreigner, they have no more polite. They hurt all of it. Then after I sat down, they started to attack my message. He doesn't have a ear to hear, like in here, what the Spirit of God said to the church. But many people refuse to hear. Alright. So, according to this positive confession, if you are sick, don't confess it. There are those that say there is a difference between acknowledging the symptom of an illness and the illness itself. Let me ask you something. Do you believe that now? Think before you answer the question. Do you believe that God wants to give you the best of everything? Now when you say amen, you mean yes or no? Do you believe that God wants to give you the best of everything? The best house, the best car, the best food, the best club? You say, do you believe that? If you believe that God wants to give you the best of all this, something is wrong with you. Right?
declare the equal. Think about the word equal. Because if you say you're not equal in the eyes of God, as the Bible says, you're neither Gentile nor Jew, right? Nor rich nor poor. Yes, we're all equal in the eyes of God. But are we all equal when we're born into this world? Now, some are born in a rich family. Some are born in a poor family. So why, God, did you make me poor? Why am I born in a poor family? My father is a rack and bone man. What do you call that? Galvani man. What do you call that? Rack and bone man. Yeah. Huh? Why can't I be born like that? Brother, the way that his father, look at him. A mansion, a nice car. Yes. And they have been taught, all you have to do is tell Satan to get lost. Don't touch my money. God made me rich. God's giving me a lot of money. Don't touch it. You know, what is faith? Faith is a revelation. Do you think that by your confession, that you by your confession, Father in heaven, you promise? There's a lot of promises in the Bible, it's mine. I believe, I never get sick. You said that to Israel. I put upon none of the diseases that I put upon the Egyptian. You don't get it. So you're going to confess then and you will not get disease. How many of you have never been sick? Let me see your hand. So you are all sick before, right? Yeah. What does the sickness do to you? It make you a better person or not? And now when I get sick, well, I've not been sick for a long time, actually, for 30 odd years, I've never been sick, actually, but before that, I was so sick, because God was trying me, God was putting me to be a better person, prepare me for the ministry overseas. Now, when I was in the 20s and the 30s, man, I got flu, I got sick so often. It's not nice being when you are sick with all these aches and pain. So when you said that you have faith and you try to compel God into action, you said that, so you're forcing God to act on His word. A lot of people do that. That's what Buddhist confession is all it. Confessing, you get it. If you want money, confessing, you get money. You want healing, confessing, you get it. All because of the spoken word. There was one message Bob Ben preached. It's called, "Why cry? Speak." And people get the title of the message. Yeah. Lord, you know, I'm having this problem. Now I'm going to speak the word. I'm healed. Is that how it works? Show me a scripture there how you work. And I'll believe you. Spoken word. It seems that this teaching is that our words holds the power to force God to give to us what we want. Can you do that? Our word do not have power. Oh yeah, they say they have power, the power of your spoken word. That is powerful in a certain way. But just because you speak it and you want to force God to act upon it, you think you get it? Alright, let's go to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, and verse 19. "But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Yeah, God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. Is that right? Your needs. Don't read it as God shall supply all your want, all your desire. That's not what the Bible says. Your needs, not your desire, not your want. Yeah, because positive confession is what it is. It's our desire. Just take it, you got it. First God give it to you. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an unexpected end. Who was that talking to? Within context, whenever God gives a promise or says something, we're within context. This is speaking to about Judah. God has chosen a nation. His thought to them is always good. He's telling them. But because of their rebellious nature, it's God have to teach them. Isaiah 55 and verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So is our thought above God? Your desire, your thought, your desire, is it above God? Isaiah 55, if you don't have it just now, verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Matthew 8. Yeah, let's see what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man have not always, have not where to lay his head. Wow, and then yeah, you can say we are a children of God. We can have the best of everything. No, the best of everything that God wants to give you is what? The best of your life, spiritually. That you grow in His grace, grow in His knowledge, grow in His revelation. You have a relationship with Him. That is why He wants to give you the best of Himself to you. And He has given you the best. His only begotten Son. And in Him is that seed that you put into your heart, and God wants you to grow in that. And bring forth the life and the fruits. If Jesus Christ don't even have, even the foxes have holes to go in there and sleep, the birds have a nest, they can sit down. And Christ don't even have a place to lay his head. You think. Think about it. The Son of Man, Christ. Matthew 10, 34 to 36. Think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace for the soul. For I am come to send a man at variance against his father, daughter against her mother, and mother-in-law against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's spouse shall be there of his own household. Oh. You didn't promise that peace in your family. How many family? How many of your brothers and sisters were married? Do you think they are family of our issue? Do you have conflict? I know someone in the past that says, oh, we have no problem. We all are very peaceful. I said, oh, really, That's a lie. Every family has problems. If a family has no problem, that is abnormal. Very abnormal. Surely. Jesus said, and even when He brings the gospel into the home, more problems. For sure. He didn't send peace. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 10. And let's see what Paul said. For lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most greatly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmity. I think Paul must be a nutcase. Who ever thought about saying that you take pleasure in infirmities? Come on, Paul, what are you talking? I'm not talking about Brother Paul here, I'm talking about Paul here. Huh? Do you, Brother Cathy, do you take pleasure in your pain? Anybody? You see, but what was Paul saying? No, but I take pleasure in infirmity, in reproaches, in necessity, in persecution, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. God allows pain, sickness to come. Years ago, I preached on a message, why do Christians suffer in sickness? Why? Because God allowed it to put trial on you, to shape you, to make you a better person. Because if we are all fine then, you know, only fine then, no problem in life, we got good food, we got pleasure, we go on vacation so often every year, 3-4 times a year. Wow! I got a good job, I got a nice car, aircon, everything. Then you're never going to be. Look at Job! He got everything, didn't he? And Satan went around. And then somebody, you know, told him, just hate, maybe despise Job because, you know, he got so much blessing. And then Satan was healed. Yeah, Job worship you. Because you bless him. Take away that. Take it away all and see what happens. You'll curse you and you'll die. Curse you in the face and die. Come on. God says, all right, try him. So the devil took little by little until what happened to Job? Not only that he lost everything that he got afflicted with sorrows over his body. You think about it. You talk about a pimple on your nose and your ears and the face. You look into the mirror, you don't like it, do you? And he got it everywhere in his body. He can't even sit down. He had got to sit on a pile of ashes. But yet, he never spoke of him to God. His wife supported him, but his wife couldn't take it. What if he just cut God and died? Oh yeah, it's easy, huh? When everything goes wrong, God's gone and die. When everything is fine, then it, thank the Lord, praise the Lord, thank you, Lord. Paul had everything, being that he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a member of the Sanhedrin. But when the Lord Jesus met him on the way, make him his prisoner. Why? What a difference. He was so packed up with all, you know, being a religious man. Then God, Christ blinded his eye and then healed him. He never took the pain away. Now the pain is terrible. If you know what a jab is. You know what a jab is? Something, you know, if you have ever get something shocked that pop into your eye all of a sudden. Last Friday, I had a bad night, a terrible night. Went to sleep. After several hours, I got up. The aircon was not on, nothing, it was a cool night. I thought I was shivering. There was this pain that runs around my body. like some kind of crap movie, kind of paint. You know, I went into a shiva. I thought it was aircon. I thought aircon was on and was cold. So I went. I got out trying to find some bed sheet to cover myself. As I got up, I began to feel very warm all of a sudden. So what happened? And it was so uncomfortable. I thought I'm going to die. The whole night I had to sleep. Just when got up, I knew when to pray. I prayed. That's the time when our God wants to call your attention when something happened. Be alone with God for a while. That's what Paul said. When I'm weak, when I have all this pain, when all this comes, then am I strong. Because why? He sends him to his knees. He sends him to get him closer with the Lord. Verse 1. Psalms 55. You know, many times this positive confession is that confess, confess, and you will get it. And usually it's about the future. Now, how many of you here, I mean, many of you are parents. Have you always wondered why you don't get what you want in the family? Some of us here don't get sons, you get daughters. Some of us don't get daughters, they get sons. You know what? I know God has a plan. God doesn't want to give you daughters because He has a vision. And I know the reason behind it most of the time. I'm going to tell you, because you won't like to hear it. When I was in America, we were with this family. Wow, so many children. Because Americans give you money for every child. So a parent don't have to work. And they're having one after another. There are men who wanted a daughter. First son, second son, third son, fourth son, sixth son, seven, eight, nine, ten, son. 11 is also a son. I want a daughter, Lord. 11 son, a football team. Let me try another one. I want a daughter. The 12 came out. He's also a son. He became the red reserve in the football team. Still no daughter. And then those who wanted a son. First a daughter, second daughter, third daughter, fourth, fifth, and fifth. Seven is also a daughter. A basketball, a netball team. Let me try one more time to get a son. Still come out a daughter. A reserve for the netball. You see, no matter how you desire, God's thought is higher than our thought, He knows. For me, I got my son, my daughter. I didn't ask for it. I didn't know when I was going to get married. I said, Lord, I leave it to your hand. And God leave it to me, you will get married between 24 years old and 28 years old. And I got married at 26. And God even told me before I was even going to get married, you will have a son and then a daughter. I put it down. So when we were married, when my wife was pregnant with Zoya, you know the echo, is that the echo sound? What do you call the echo sound?
Ultrasound.
And you could see that he was a boy. Then at home when my wife was pregnant with Zoe, the echo sound couldn't tell because got the way of the fetus. So we don't know it was a boy or a girl. I told my wife, it's a girl. And my wife was due for delivery in July after I come back from the convention in Brother Jackson's church. So while I was there, they want me to talk about a little bit of my family. So I told them, you know, my wife, my son, and then my wife expecting, and I said that, you know, what happened to the echo sound, the image was, you know, like, they didn't tell whether it was a boy or a girl, but the Lord told me it was a girl. And after the service was over, The following day, a family picked me up and said to go out, walk, what do you call, shopping and sightseeing. Then we went to a mall. He said, "Brother Gan, you sure it's a girl? Because we're going to buy pink. It's for a girl." I said, "Yeah, it's a girl. That's fine." You know, I told the whole church it's a girl. And then he said, "It's a girl." "Sure." I said, "Yeah." So they bought all the pink things, you know. So when we went back to the motel, there was a phone. What acknowledged was a phone called manager. I says, "Oh, the rejection call." And I pick up the phone and I said, "The news came that you have a girl." And the brother said, "Brother, you hit the roof. You know, I had a girl. I didn't ask for the girl. I didn't ask for the boy. God showed it to me even before all these things happened." And when I came back, Tracy was in the hospital waiting for delivery. And when the child came out, the nurse saw the baby and asked her, "Is your husband happy if he's a girl?" Tracy says, "He's looking for the girl. He wants a girl too. He's okay." And I said, "Okay, it's a girl." God gave me my life. I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask for that. I never thought I would get married. I said, "No, it's in your hand." Well, we confess faith, not our want. Let's go to Psalms 55, verse 22. "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Why I stand firm on my faith all these years for what I believe? You know, the Bible is a new book to me when I left the denomination. And it is true, I think this, I'm not sure it's Charles Spurgeon has said, "Study the Bible in depth, in height, in width, in breadth, whatever, and you will see God revealing himself more to you. The depth of it." He will sustain me. 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your cares upon him, for he cared for you." So what does the Bible tell us? Any other confession? Any other confession? If you don't confess positively, it doesn't mean that you need what we call consider negative and will make void the word of God. That's not true. Casting all your cares. What do I care? I care about the problem that I have. I'm casting onto him because he cares for me. Just because I care for him, I cast upon him. Is there anything wrong by telling you what I have? By telling you what I went through? What the Bible said? Well, bring the request now. Anybody, any request? Yes, brother. What is it? Unspoken. Unspoken! Father, he has unspoken request. I don't know why. Do you know? Yeah, God knows. But he wants you to open your mouth and say it as it is. There's nothing wrong to say what you have. "Lord, I don't have the money to buy what I need." You know, I'll tell you a story about a faithful Christian woman with kids in America. The harvest was bad. Nothing from the farm. I think it was 3 or 4 children. Father was gone. "Mama, we are hungry. We need bread. There's no bread in the home. Mama, we need bread." The man, the woman was a woman of faith. He says, "Yes, I will pray the Lord to send bread." What could he do? He went to the prayer and cast the Holy Spirit upon Christ, right? "Lord, you know we need that. The children are hungry. We need bread." And miracles and miracles. God sent them. Outside of home, country roads, a delivery truck, a bakery truck,
Went past the house and there was a bump in the road. Bump! The back door opened, a load of that dropped on the road. Think about it. The boy was up there playing in the back in the yard, I mean in the front of the yard. When they saw the bread, the van went, they picked it up and went back to the room. Mama, mama, God sent bread! God sent bread! Believe. Because God knows your need. If you have needs, He cares for you. That is true. Even Jesus Christ cried out. Matthew 26, 28 to 39. Then said he unto them, the disciples, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tell you here, watch with me. And he went a little further and fell upon his face and cried, oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. The disciple was with him, my soul is sorrowful unto death. It hurts! It's painful! Can't you just watch with me? And he went on further down and he fell upon his father. He just cried to the Father. If it is possible, don't let me die this kind of death. And he prayed three times. The Father didn't answer him. He didn't say a word. Because why? The word, the prophecy must be fulfilled. And Jesus said, thy will be done. Not mine, but yours be done. What a Paul and Epaphroditus. Philippians 2 and verse 25 to 30. Yet I suppose it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, he that ministered to my needs. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that you had heard that he had been sick. Oh, Paul, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have said he's sick. Paul, you shouldn't have said he's sick. Positive confession. Well, there probably some preacher would have wanted to use that if you dare to. You know, some preacher just speak up what they want to teach, but they don't want to tell the other side of the story. Paul said he had been sick and you know that. Did Paul pray for him? Yes. But was he healed? No. What about Timothy? He had a big problem in the stomach with everywhere he go. Paul prayed for him. I don't know how many times. Perhaps three times, and usually three times, that's enough. And what did he tell Timothy? Just take a little wine for your stomach sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God have mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I send him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him. You know one thing about positive confession, it only has value in the physical world. If you want to live a holy life, that's what you should do. Positive compassion, positive thinking, to get what you want. But as far as to the things of God, let His will be done in your life. John 14:13. What did the Bible here say? John 14:13. Whatsoever you ask in my name, Jesus said, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Right? But does it mean you can ask for anything as you want? What does the Bible say then? The Bible here said, Jesus said, I think this was our context. Huh? By itself. Whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Father, you know, I need $100,000. Yeah. You grant to me, Jesus said so. Father, Jesus said so. Go to John chapter 5. The first John, sorry. 1 John 5:14-15. But here, what he said. This is the covenant that we have in him.
that if we ask anything according to what? My will. My will be done. I need $100,000. Jesus said, I asked, you gave me, Father. Wow. This is the covenant that we have in God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of Him. My Bible said, be still and know that I am God. Don't rush God. Huh? No one can compel God to action. God don't share His glory with anybody. Right. He doesn't give His sovereignty to anyone. Romans 8:17. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Right? Hey, look, some people think we shouldn't suffer. But think about Christ suffering. I have been in the trance when I saw His suffering. All you have to do one day, just spend your time on your knees and just meditate. Lord, let me see how much You have suffered for me. And when the Lord open up the vision for you, open up your mind and you just see what the Lord has done for you. And yet we want all the joy and happiness. And, you know, but let me tell you something. I don't have always happiness, but I have always peace in my heart. Always a peace. A peace that the world cannot take it from me. I may not have all the happiness in the world. There's a difference between happiness and peace. I hope you understand that. Some people drink a cup of nice coffee. That's happiness. That's heaven. Yes, Brother Henry. Wagyu beef. Woo. Fresh sashimi. Woo. Ephesians 5:17. Now the authority of the believer exists only in the will of God. It is our your responsibility to discover it, huh? Remember it. And let us all be conformed to God's will. The will of His, of our sovereign God. You understand? Ephesians 5:17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of God is. Do you understand the will of God? Well, this thing that I have in me, was it God's will for it to have been there? Yes. People say, no, it's the devil to put in there. Of course, not without God's permission. Could the devil did what he did to Job without God's permission? I have a plaque since when I was in the Assemblies of God. It's still in my house. I cut it out, place it, hang it up on the wall. It talks about the thing that have overtaken me. Did not overtaken me, I've been overtaken God by surprise. But God saw it and allows it. It'll be a blessing to me. I have been through second thing. James 4:1-3. What did James 4:1-3 talk about? Sometimes we ask a lot of things, but we didn't get it. Why? Because we ask amiss. We ask not in the will of God. We ask for our want instead of our need. Do you understand now? Let's go to James 4:15. Remember, when you have a problem, doesn't mean that you have no faith. There are people who have a lot of problems, doesn't mean they have no faith. The problem is there because God is trying to make you understand. What are you going to do with it? I put it there, allows it. What are you going to do with it? You want to sit down and die? Joseph, Paul, I mean not Paul, Daddy, King Daddy, the son was taken away by God, right? And he cried in the morning, crying and more. Well, he wanted to mourn and die, and mourn and cry, continually. What are you going to do with it? Come to the revelation of it. And he found it. He said, he cannot come back, but I can go to him. He cannot come to me, but I can go to him. Right? Sometimes we lost our sense of the will of God. You know, Paul prayed 3 times for God to take the thorn away. But it wasn't God's will. What did God say to him? My grace is sufficient for you. 3 times, that Jesus Christ prayed 3 times. God didn't answer up to Jesus Christ, his son, because the son knows the scripture. Paul was preaching the word, he had done his faith 3 times. God says, my grace is sufficient for you. And God allows that thorn to keep him humble. So to enclose him to omit weakness is not to say that you are defeated. No, sir. To omit financial help doesn't mean that you are poor. To omit that you are sick doesn't mean that you have never been healed. We go look at a few cases. Paul omit weakness. But in the midst of what he went through, God's strength is make strong in him. And now you have this King Joseph. When all these Moabites and Ammonites were ganging together with other nations to fight him, he says, we can't fight that. The army is too big. Then he tell the people to fast and pray. And the Lord said, you will win. I'm with you. He admitted that he cannot fight because they are too big. What about Goliath? The camel of Israel said, oh, nobody can challenge. And then here King David, who's not even a soldier. So what? Come on. He's just a man, he's a giant, so what? There are 50 Philistines and blaspheme the name of God. Let me go and fight him. And they laughed at him. God has to show that he doesn't take a big man to fight a big man. You know what people say? Hey, don't bully her. Take somebody your own size, right? You ever heard that said? But David doesn't care. The fellow is a giant even as a young man. He went in faith. Believe it. Well, that's right. Another time, Jesus, the disciple, went out fishing. Peter said, I need to go fishing. That was already Jesus, after Jesus' death. I'm going to go fishing. Somebody said, we go with you. So they went out fishing. Fishing draw until the morning. There was no fish. Yeah? And then he saw someone walking on the shore. They didn't know it was Jesus. They didn't know. Hey, Jesus asked them, have you caught any fish? And the disciple, you know what the Bible says? But the disciple probably God rephrase it. Only they twist the story a little bit, they look at each other. I think we better have positive confession. Yes, we have fish. Is that what he said? You don't have fish, sir, you don't have fish. Tell the truth. Jesus Christ said, cast your net over the other side. Mine, all the fish came. Right? What if they say, yeah, we got some? I mean, they don't know it was Jesus, of course, huh? It might be a stranger. Yeah, we got some. What you want to buy? We tell the circumstances exactly as it is. What do you need? What's troubling you? Tell it to the Lord. Bring it to the church. We pray over it. In closing, 2 places of scripture. Numbers chapter 13, verse 26 to 33. You know the story here. We all do. And when they came to Moses, these are the 12 spies. They came to report to Aaron. And to all the congregation of children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, Kadesh, and brought back words unto them, and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, and said, we came into the land whither thou sent us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong. They dwell in the land, and the city are walled, and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And Amalekite dwell in the land of the south. The Hittite, the Jebusite, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stood the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome. But the man went up with him and said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land. Verse 33. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giant, and we were in our own sight, as grasshoppers, and we were in their sight. You know? Yeah, of course. 12 spies, 10 of them came up. A good report about the land flowing with honey. Yes, everybody wants it. Oh, but those people are huge. They were the Canaanites, they were giants. The son of Canaan, they were all there. Big and little, just like grasshopper. They get smaller and smaller and smaller. Of course, the more you think that you are. That is negative confession. What was the confession that God gave to them in the first place? I give you the land of Canaan. Right? I give it to you. That's God's confession. I give you the land. Confession. This stands by, oh, you can't take it. We can't take it. We are like grasshoppers. They were giants. Swing over to the other side. The positive confession. Over what? Over the word of God. What God said. The land belongs to us. We can take it. We can take it. What did they do? Caleb, Joshua, we can take it. But what do you think they do? They're just sitting in the camp. And they say, let's go. They're just marching. Did they prepare themselves to fight? Yes. They're not just marching and take the land so easily. They prepare for a battle. To take the land. To sharpen their sword. To prepare the spear, arrows, and everything. Because our warfare, every one of us here, is a spiritual warfare. We are fighting not prosperity, physical. They are not carnal. They are spiritual. We are fighting against the prosperity of the powers of the air. Right? It's a battle! 2 Kings 4:25. I want you to read this carefully with me so that you will know very common thing. How is everything with you, Brother Dan? I'm okay. How is everything with you? All is well. What does it mean? Here we see 2 Kings chapter 4, and you know the story very well, right? But then I see 25 verse 30. So she went out unto the man of God in Mount Carmel, and it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder the Shunammite woman. You know this Shunammite woman, right? Desired a son, and Elisha gave her a son, right? Okay, but the son died. Right? Now, Elisha saw her. Said, Gehazi, go and find out from her. Ask her. Run now, I pray you, to meet her and ask her 3 questions. Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? She answered, it is well. What does it mean? Is it that he's denied, she's denying? Is well with your husband, well with you, with your child? She said, it is well. What does it mean? The word it is well means what? I'm at peace. We are at peace. My child died, no problem. I'm at peace. But if she came to God to see Elisha, why? You read the story, you know. Elisha said, we'll get a child. So now, my child died. What are you going to do about it? So you see, she's a smart woman. She's a wise woman. God promised her a child. She got it. The child died. Hey, man, this child is not supposed to die. If a child died, means I don't have a son at all. So she came to God. She came to Elisha. But she's at peace. Believing, all is well. God is going to do something. God is going to do something. Surely. That's the reason why when God gave Jesus Christ eternal life, the life that was in the Father gave to the Son, that the Son may lay down His life, right, and raise it up again to bring forth more seeds, many seeds. Do you understand? But the Son come to that stage, Father, if it's possible, don't let me do it. The Father keep quiet. You know the prophecy. You know my word. Father, your will be done. So he lay down to sleep. Right. Father, raised up. That's the promise. Jesus said, the Spirit of God in him said, I lay down my life and I'll raise it up. When he did that, he's coming by. He's going to raise you up. He's going to raise me up. That's the promise. Do you understand? So, to Canaan's land, it's ours. Joshua and Caleb says, God promised that it's ours. We confess it, to find it, to take it. We cannot just simply walk in. A lot of times people think that it's so simple to get God's plan, just walk in and take it. We have to fight. The enemy is trying to take away and destroy your life. Right? And we have to fight him. May the Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for what we have, Lord. It's such a wonderful journey, Lord, that I have with you all these years. It's an adventure. It's a pilgrim with all its ups and its downs. But Lord, learning your faith, to draw myself closer to you, is because you draw me close, Father. No man desire that in any sense of the word, because you are born in this world of sin. But Lord, you chose, you pull, your will be done. Thank you, Father, for our life. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We thank you, Father. We thank you. Bless everyone now, Father. Grant us the grace to grow in your word. And teach us the way, Father. Teach us the way. We confess, O Lord Jesus Christ, with all our heart. We confess that we are sinners saved by grace. We confess, O Lord, that you are able, yes, Lord, to see us through. For you promised to be with us, even unto the end of the world. We thank you, Father. Bless you now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.